We're in Isaiah. No, we're not in Isaiah. We're in Luke 9:41. But we're looking at suffering.
That's kind of appropriate, isn't it? Between the stripes and all.
Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 18. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear. And again, that could equal it's workers, be subject to your bosses.
What's the word?
18. With all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, and take it patiently, this is acceptable unto God. Now, again, the operative word is suffer, or buffeted here also. And there's a suffering is to patience as waiting is to love. And so the idea, well, there's a whole range here of things we're going to study, so let's just wait. Go to chapter 3 of 2 Peter. And who is he, in verse 13, and who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you.
Where are we? 13.
Now we're in 3:14.
2 Peter 3:14.
No, 1 Peter.
Sorry.
And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with fear, with meekness and fear. Now again, in a little bit, we're going to get into where Jesus said, let my words sink into you. And again, it's everything and everything about discipleship is the word being made flesh. And the only way it's made flesh is by waiting. And waiting is, There's no issue of waiting when things are going well, you know, you're just doing. But when things go wrong from your standpoint, It doesn't matter whether it's something that is you internally do your, to yourself, or whether it's for some, from some other source. The whole issue is waiting. That's the only way the Word is made flesh. And it's the only way that you will know that you know that you know that Jesus Christ is in you. Now, there are no words to say how important this is. Because what happens when things don't go the way you think they should, if you're a believer, you are saying to God, and if you don't, if you're not waiting, you are saying to God, you have forsaken me. And so I, because you have forsaken me, I must lean on my own arm of understanding. I must solve this problem because you have forsaken me.
That's what we see in that time of Jezebel. About Moses and the tablets.
Yeah.
People made the golden calves because, you know, they
couldn't wait.
Yeah. Couldn't wait.
All right, let's go to chapter 4 of 1 Peter. Beloved, think in verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. The evidence that you believe in a false gospel is that you believe that suffering is strange. Doesn't matter what degree it is. Doesn't matter if it's a headache or writhing in pain on the floor. If you think suffering is strange, then it's the evidence you believe a false gospel. Without exception. Now, how do you think it's strange? You think it's strange because you believe it shouldn't be afflicting you. And you compare. Once you compare, then it's the evidence you're not wise. The whole idea, and again, I say to you over and over and over, from God's perspective, you are dead. Nothing can happen to you, good or bad. Who then is suffering? Christ in you is suffering. And he's filling up the affliction that is lacking in the body of Christ. But every time you start playing the role of a pagan, you think it's strange and you got to get out of it. You got to do something. You got to. The options for a believer are singular. Wait. The options for a pagan are myriad. Everybody understand this? Ronnie?
Probably because I don't understand it, but you know, I kind of take issue with that because you know I'm going to the pain clinic to try and get out of pain or learn how to deal with it or something, whatever. But I, you know, it's like it makes me think that, like, you know, hey, I should call it and say, hey, you know, just forget it.
That's not what I'm saying to you. I'm talking about an internal transaction where you think it is strange that you're suffering. Hmm?
That's a big transaction. It's not a light matter. It took you 20 years or a long time before you got to the place where
for wanting to be delivered from pain.
Yeah, it's been times where I ask, you know, why am I in this much pain? What's going on?
All right, let's go to James.
I think about the time Jesus was healing a man, and they said, who sinned that this man should be like this? And he said, no one.
James is one page back, not several. James, chapter 5. We're going to read much of this chapter. Go to, you rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were a fire, and you have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of the Sabaoth. You have lived in pleasure on earth and been wanton. You have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Be you also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercies. But then that goes on, above all things, swear not. But anyway, the idea is the patience in suffering. The patience in suffering. Waiting is to love as patience is to suffering. All right. We got to go a couple more places. Go to 1 Corinthians 2. And we're going to talk just a minute about this idea of waiting. Verse 7, behold, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of the world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man, that which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now, it's interesting. There it says that God is prepared for them that love him, and it's quoting Isaiah. Now, let's look at what he is quoting. Go to Isaiah 64. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. As when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. When thou didst terrible things, which we looked not for, thou camest down, the mountains flowed at thy presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, nor seen with the eye, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. So from God's standpoint and from the New Testament writers, love and wait are the same thing. Eyes not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man that which God hath prepared for them that love him. But it quotes, I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man that which God hath prepared for men that wait on him. You can go praising God, raising your hands all day long. But if you can do that and wait only on him, then his mystery is revealed in you. His word is made flesh. And his word is made flesh, that's a biggie. You never have to quote anybody. You never have to worry what anybody is saying. You never have to worry about whether the words you speak are right or wrong. Amen? All right, let's go back to Luke, chapter 9.
I was thinking of the Lord in this waiting environment. What must happen is abandonment of self and denial of the mind.
Amen.
The mind during that waiting time is fully active and promoting and generating.
And doesn't want to wait.
The mind doesn't want to wait.
Emptying, that's where he fills. You empty, he fills. That's where you become, you're transformed in that.
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Who, though being in the form of God, thought it not something to be grasped, to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, 100% emptied at all times.
Did a lot of things. It's like
he didn't. His father did. He did nothing but what his father, he saw the father doing.
Right.
That's emptying. All right. We're still in Luke 9, 42. And then he was casting out the demons, and then he said, 42, as he was yet coming, the devil threw him down and tear him, and Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. But while they wondered, every one at these things which Jesus did, he said unto the disciples, the threw is just a word that means he had convulsions when he threw him down. And he tear, it just doesn't mean he tore his flesh. It means he convulsed completely. And Jesus rebuked.
He says, let these sayings sink down into your ears.
Let these sayings.
And then,
we're not there yet.
Oh. Sorry.
I was just going through what happened in 43.
Okay.
Or 42, I mean. He healed the child. We're not going to go there. The unclean is just our katharos. catharsis, which is when you're ceremonially unclean, like when you touch a dead body, or unclean because of moral actions. They were all amazed. Ektesso, which means they're struck in the mind by the mighty powers. It's megalitos, which means the visible splendor. And the mighty power. Well, I want to get down to I'll just finish reading it. And then they were all amazed at the mighty power of God, but while they wondered everyone at all things which Jesus did, he said unto his disciples, let these sayings sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. Sink down is tithemi, means set or fix, established, put or make as part of oneself. And the word sayings is logos. Let the logos sink down, become part of you. Remember the issue, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the rhema of God, not by the logos of God. So only somebody that has been worked out these things can you won't get faith if you just listen to Bible verses all day, because it hasn't been worked out. You could memorize the Bible from here to eternity, and it would be meaningless because it would be an exercise of the mind. So let these sayings sink down. How do you let them sink down? The only way is waiting. Let's go to Romans 10 a minute. You know how easy it is and how quick the human mind wants to do something that's in the law that they can do?
What did you say?
You find if you go to hang around religious people, you'll find they pick out something that they can do. And so they do it as an instrument of sorcery. Let me explain. All right, let's all gather together and let's have a preacher or a music leader or whatever. He says, okay, now everybody stand. Everybody stands up. Now everybody raise your hands and praise him. And they do it because the scriptures say that God inhabits the praises of his people. So you try to create the praise so that you, or it's proof to you that he has inhabited you. Then you've got it all wrong. You've got it upside down. You understand? There's a jillion other examples. It's so easy. I mean, it's so easy for the mind to revert to sorcery. Let's continue readings. Let's verse 10 or chapter 10, starting verse 1. We're not going to get very far here, but we'll get a little bit. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Now, just think about that. The zeal is meaningless if it isn't coupled with knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Now, this just isn't only the Jews, it's everybody. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. In other words, if you are going to take a little part of the law and say, this is what you should do and this is what I'm doing, then you are obligated to do the whole law, which no man can do. So you've fallen from grace. You've fallen from the strong city to gain a moment of righteousness. When you judge somebody down for their actions, the moment you judge them down, then you are in the place of God and you have fallen from the strong city. And you're left to your own devices. You have to live by the law. You can't live in both worlds. It's all faith or it's no faith. As we've said before, everything is spiritual or nothing is spiritual. What?
I'm starting to drift.
I know. All right, but the righteousness which is of faith saith on this wise, say not in thine heart, and in Greek it's much more powerful. It says, say not even in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up again from the dead. Now what does all this have to do with this? It's coupled to it because if you think you're doing something right, then you will automatically condemn somebody that's doing something wrong. And by condemning them, you are saying they will descend into the deep, but I'm going to ascend into the heights. You got it? Now, it's so easy to do. Right. You're trying to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. You can't do it. Well, that's not what we're studying, but that's where we're going to continue there in Romans 10. There's some goodies in Romans 10. Drifting. Minds drifting.
You know, that's one of the car deals.
Take it, big guy, quickly.